Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. Bo yimidei Rova mi Rav Nachman. Rova asked this question Rav Nachman. Tashmisha mita the Rabbanan. Tashmisha mita, according to the Rabbanan, inu nefeshu, o dvarim shebeino de beina. What is the status of Tashmisha mita according to the Shita of the Chachamim? Rabbi Yossi's Shita, he argues in the Mishnah on the Chachamim with regards to Merchatz, Imlo Erchatz, Imitkashet, Imlo Etkashet, and says those aren't inui nefesh, and seemingly he believes that those are beino de beina. So according to the Chachamim, who thinks imerchatz, imlorchatz, imekashet, imloet kashet, are dinim in inui nefesh, what is the status of tashmisha mita? Is tashmisha mita because of inui nefesh, or is tashmisha mita because of beino de beina? With regards to tashmisha mita, it's clear that when it comes to the husband side, and the Gemara notes this in different places, that's definitely deemed to be inui nefesh. If she withholds tashmisha mita from the husband, that is clearly inui nefesh. The question of the Gemara over here is with regards to the woman. If the woman takes a neder that blocks herself from tashmisha mita, how do we view that? Do we view that as a problem of inui nefesh, meaning that she suffers from the fact that there is no tashmisha mita? Or is the reason that we allow her to be made for the neder is because it's ben ol de beina? Meaning these are issues of the marital relationship, and it's probably the ultimate beino de beina of the intimate side of the marriage. And this causes a problem for that intimacy and that closeness of the husband and wife. So therefore, he'd be able to be made fair them of beino de beina. And the difference, of course, will be the nafkamino of when he's made for the neder, what is the impact of that hafara? If it's unu nefesh, then his hafara eliminates the neder completely, because then the focus is on her. It's causing her inui nefesh. So irrespective of where she is, what her status is, who she's married to, there's still this inui nefesh, and therefore when the husband is made for the neder, he takes out the neder completely. On the other hand, if the reason that he's allowed to be made for over here is because it's a beino de beina, it's because it had something to do with their marriage, then he's only allowed to address specifically the issue that is between him and her in the context of their marriage. That means once they're divorced, the neder is still in full force for anyone else, because the right of hafara is in order to preserve their marriage. So he can excise the piece that deals with him and her, but that's it, beino de beina. That's the nature of such a hafara or the heter for him to be made for that neder, is to protect their marriage, but not to eliminate entirely, because it's not an issue of inui nefesh. That's the nature of Rova's question here to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says back to him, tinitua. It's a mishnah, the last mishnah in the Masechta. Unitula ani minya yudim. She takes a neder that she is oser herself bahana'a from all the yudim. Now, nitula minya yudim, it doesn't mean that literally that she's oser herself and not from any Jew, but rather here it deals with specifically tashmisha mita. She is oser herself in tashmisha mita from any Jew. Yafer chelko umisham shato. He eliminates, nullifies the peace that relates to him, and they continue to have marital relations. And she remains restricted to anyone else besides her husband, meaning that if they get divorced in the future, or she's widowed in the future, then she will be restricted in tashmisha mita from anyone else. V'amart, neder inui nefesh avi. If tashmisha mita is an issue of inui nefesh, why does the neder remain intact for everyone else? If it's inui nefesh, when he eliminates it, he'll eliminate it completely, and everyone will be freed from the ramifications of this neder. The fact that he can only deal with the aspect that is between him and her, and be made for that, but everything else stays in place, shows you that it is beino de beina, shmamina, dvarim shebeino de beina havin. It is an issue of beino de beina with regards to tashmish hamita. Now the Gemara challenges that and says, the rabbonon tibayelucha mishum dinitula animinu yudim. You are trying to come to a conclusion from the Mishnah of Netula Ani Mina Yudim, for the Shita of the Rabbanon. Now, the Lashon of Tibailach, usually that means, Tibailach means a question, that the question according to the Rabbanan. So here you could try to fit that into the meaning, which is that you're questioning position of the Rabbanan from that Mishnah, but you're not really questioning because you're answering, or you're reaching a conclusion from that Mishnah, based on what it says there in the sheet of the Rabbanan. That's problematic because Rabbi Yossi k'tani la. Rabbi Yossi is the author of that Mishnah. The Amar of Huna says, Kulei Pirkin Rabbi Yossi hi. The entire Perek is authored by Rabbi Yossi. The entire 11th parak of Nidarim has attribution to Rabbi Yossi. Even though there are many Stam Mishnayot throughout this parak, they all are authored by Rabbi Yossi. Mimai, how do you know that's the case? Kevan Diktani Rabbi Yossi Omer Ein Elu Nidreinu Nefesh. In the beginning of the Mishnah, after the position of the Tanakam of the Chachamim, that Imer Chatz, Im Lorachatz, Imet Kashet, Im Loet Kashet, which are Nidre Inui Nefesh, according to them, Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh. Those are not called Nidre Inui Nefesh. And then he explains other information. He starts talking about the Isura Perot Aulam Alai, Konam Perot Aulam Alai, and so on and so forth. Then, at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Lama Leitu Lemitna, Harizei Afer, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah concludes, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Well, if it's Rabbi Yossi Omer, then why does the Mishnah need to conclude, Divrei Rabbi Yossi? Shma Mina, Mikan Velech, Rabbi Yossi Hi. That comes to teach you that the entirety of this Perek, we can attribute it to the Shita Rabbi Yossi, because the Mishnah unnecessarily said Divrei Rabbi Yossi at the end of the first Mishnah, implying that that's not just this Mishnah, but the entire parak is Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Either because Divrei Rabbi Yossi is completely extraneous, you don't need it, it says Rabbi Yossi Omer, you don't need Divrei Rabbi Yossi, or because of the fact that the latter half of the Mishnah is not necessarily according to Rabbi Yossi. The latter half of the Mishnah might even be according to the Shita of the Chachamim. There, Rabbi Yossi is not necessarily saying something that's controversial and that the Chachamim don't agree to. So when it says Divrei Rabbi Yossi, that seems strange if the Chachamim don't disagree. And so it must be that the Divrei Rabbi Yossi is not going on that piece itself, but rather on the subsequent Mishnayot. Now, if Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Mishnah of Nitulam Anim in Yehudim, then there's no proof to the Shita of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi, we know, believes that these things are not Inui Nefesh. Of course, he's going to say that it's Beino the Beina with regards to Tashmish Amita. That's not a surprise to us. But the Rabbanon's position, we don't have any clarity now on the Rabbanon's position as to whether it's Inui Nefesh or it's Beino Beina. And the Gemara leaves this inconclusive. That will have impact in the Halacha, which we'll discuss in a little bit, who we paskin like, but right now the Gemara leaves that aspect of Tashmish Amita according to the Chachamim as inconclusive. Amar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. Shmuel says in the name of Levi, Kol Nidarim Baal Mefer Liishto. A husband is allowed to be Mefer, nullify all the Nidarim of his wife, Chutz, with the exception of Min Hanati Al Ploni. If she restricts herself to someone else, she restricts someone else from getting Hana'ah from her, She'enu Mefer. There he has no right to be Mefer the Neder, because there it does not involve Inui Nefesh. It might in the future cause her some problems, but there's no Inui Nefesh involved. And it's clearly not Beino le Beina. It's not an issue of him and her, because it's dealing with a third party. She's restricting a third party from getting Hana'ah from her. Aval. On the other hand, if she says Hanat Ploni Alai, she restricts herself from getting Hana'ah from someone else, Mefer. There he's allowed to do Hafara, because that is called Inui Nefesh. So now, even though currently it's not Inui Nefesh, because she doesn't need anything from this person, or she doesn't want anything from this person, so it's not Inui Nefesh now, but in the future, it will result in Inui Nefesh. It will come to Inui Nefesh, and therefore, he can be Mefer the Neder today, even though the Inui Nefesh is only a future issue. So basically, it can be made for all Nidarim. The two that we contrast over here is the case where she first of all says that I will not get Hana'ah from so-and-so. There the Baal still has rights to be Mefer. But where she says so-and-so cannot get Hana'ah from me, there the Baal has no rights because it's not Beino de Beina and it's not Inui Nefesh. So now, the Gemara says, Tznan, our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says, Perot Medina Zu Alai. If she says that I will not eat fruits from this particular location, Yavila Medina Acheret. He has to bring her, he has to supply for her from a different locale, from a different source, the Perot that she's going to eat. Again, the Ran noted in the Mishnah that obviously she's not talking about the country in which they live or the local area in which they live, because clearly over there, that's problematic. We're talking about foreign imports, and if she restricts herself in a foreign import, then the husband's got to supply her from a different source. So now, if that's the case, our Mishnah is saying that when she's oser, a specific location, or getting hana from a specific location, we tell the husband, you can't be Mefer, You got to deal with it by altering the supply or altering the source of the fruits. Well, why is that any different than the case of a person? If she restricts herself from a whole medina, and we tell you that that's not called inu nefesh, then when she restricts herself from a single person, why would you call that inu nefesh? So why does Shmuel say that in that case he can be mayfair because there's inu nefesh? Here we have our Mishnah telling you that when you restrict yourself from getting fruits from a specific location, that just take from another location. That seems to be much more inhibiting or problematic when she restricts a certain location, and yet the Mishnah just says to him, take care of it by bringing it from somewhere else. You can say the same thing about a specific individual. She restricts her not from the specific individual, just we'll get it from someone else. We'll get the service or source or whatever it is from someone else, and it won't be an issue. Why should the husband be able to be made for such a neder? So Amar Rav Yosef, the Ka'amra, the Mishnah is talking about a case, Shetavi, or the Girsa probably should be Shetaviata, that she only restricts the sourcing of the fruits from that specific location if her husband brings it. So if her husband brings it from that location, she won't get hana from it. That's the neder. So there are two ways around that neder. One way around that neder is have others bring it from that specific location. The other way around the neder is for the husband to bring it from a different location. So the Ran asks, well, based on that, why does our Mishnah say, or only give us the solution, that the husband should bring it from a different locale? The easier answer would be, let someone else bring it from the location that she restricted, and then it would not be asur. So the Balei HaTosafot over here explain it, and Aran does bans on what the Balei HaTosafot say, which is that we will only say that the Baal is not allowed to be bait for the neder if she has a way to circumvent the neder, but not only circumvent the neder, but through her husband to circumvent the neder. So in a case where she restricts, for instance, the first case in the Mishnah, Perot HaOlam Alai, says all Perot in the world I will not consume. And now based on what Rav Yosef is saying, we are going to qualify that statement. And she says, I will not eat any fruits that my husband brings to me. So then you have a solution to get around that or circumvent the neder, which is let someone else bring her the fruits and we won't have any problem. Over there, the Ran says, that's called inui nefesh, and that is a problem. Because in that instance, the Baal, the husband, cannot bring her anything, has no solution. And if the Baal has no solution, then we'd no longer call it something that we can circumvent. So here in the case where there's no option for the Baal, and their option for Achim to bring it, the Baal will have the right to be made from the neder. In the second case, where she only restricted a specific location, then if Achirim can bring it from that location, and the husband can bring it from another location, since the husband has a way to circumvent the neder, then we do not say that he can be made from the neder. Even though the husband getting it from another location may not be so convenient, may not be so easy, but the fact that he has any opening or option to go in that direction is enough for us to say that the neder cannot be mufar, that the husband may not nullify the neder because we have the acherim can bring it even from the medina. So even if he gets those fruits normally from that location, he'll just import them through someone else instead of himself, and he'll solve the problem, and therefore he's not allowed to be made for the neder. And that's why the Mishnah focused on him, saying that he can bring it from a different medina, because his bringing it from another medina is what allows the neder to stay in place, and he is unable to be made for the neder. And Tosfot says, "Duhu adin, de matit and matzah de mitnei takana d'achirim." The Mishnah could have mentioned that other takana, which is that others could bring it to her. She called him in the coat, "Na'af mi'utah here," even from the location that she restricted. Ella, Ashmina Rabuta, it teaches us a chiddush. Da'af ayidei ba'ala yuchola lehanot. Even through her husband, she has a solution over here. Ayidei perot midina acheret. Velo havik nuderet hana'a mi ba'ala. So that makes it that she is not as if restricting herself in hana from her husband. Because this nether could have looked like that. This nether could have looked like she is restricting herself in hana from her husband. So if there's no escape clause for the husband, then that's what the nether looks like. It looks like she's restricting herself in hana from her husband. In that case, the husband can come and nullify it. On the other hand, if the husband has a way to circumvent it, an escape clause where he can actually do something, then we can't claim that it's oser hana for the husband. And even though it's a little inconvenient, if you can get it through others, then that's fine. Then the Gemara says, okay, what about the next piece of the Mishnah? The next piece of the Mishnah says, Tashma, Perot Chenvani Zalai. She restricts herself from receiving perot or eating perot from this source, from this supplier, ein yachol hafer. He is not allowed to be mefer it. Why not? Seemingly again, because he has option to get it from a different supplier, from a different source, and therefore he should not be able to be mefer. And so too, Shmuel, when she restricts herself from getting on, herself from getting a noah from this individual, just go to someone else. Why should that be grounds for the husband to be mefer? Where it says, Achanami, tekamra shetaviata. Again, Rav Yosef will say the same thing over here. It's a case where she says, you can't bring me fruits from this storekeeper or from this supplier. Implying, first of all, that the husband can bring it from a different supplier. And others besides her husband can bring it to her from this specific supplier. So again there, the reason he can't be made fair is because there are options. There's an option for him to solve the problem. And there's an option through others to solve the problem. Now the last piece of the mission says, Lo aita parnasato ela mimenu. If he can only get credit extended from that particular vendor, and other vendors will not extend him that credit, so it's important for him to buy from this vendor rather than from someone else, how is it, yefer? Then he has the right to be mefer the nether. Because in that case, the Baal has no out. The husband has no out over here. Because if you tell him go to another vendor, he will not get the credit that was extended by this vendor. And that will put him in a position where he cannot simulate what this vendor offers him through another vendor. That means that the Baal is closed down entirely. So even though Achirim, others can bring it to him from that vendor, nevertheless, since the Baal has no option, it won't work. Or you could suggest it's a case where the vendor will only extend the credit to him personally when he shows up. But if you send others to do it, then he will not extend the credit to that individual. So in that case, you cannot suggest that it's a case where she specifically said, Ata, that it's you that I will not take Kana from. And so just like over here, where the only way for her to gain access to the fruits of this Chenvani is through a violation of the nether, so too the previous cases must be cases where she can only get the fruit through a violation of the nether. Well, that will only be in a case where she takes the nether that not only restricts those fruits being brought from that location or that vendor through her husband, but period, being brought from those places. And therefore, what Rav Yosef suggests as the qualification of the Mishnah is incorrect. Or, you can explain it this way. V'amart, if you say the ka'amra shata viata, if you say that it's a case where she only restricts him, amaya fair. Why is he allowed to be made fair the nether in that instance? Because, again, he has options to get around this. His options to provide to her in a different way, ayyadei achirim, or through another vendor. Since she can get hana from this chevani through acher, if she only restricted in receiving these fruits through her husband from this particular individual, this particular vendor, that just have someone else bring it from that vendor. And then everything will be fine. He will get the credit extended to him that he needs from this vendor. He won't be bringing it to his wife. She'll get it through the Achirim. And Shalom Al Yisrael, her nether is in place. He doesn't have to be made for it. Then there's no problem. Ella, what do you have to say? It must be a case where she takes a nether that says, I will not take fruits from this vendor, period. Not only if my husband brings it, no matter what. That means that there's no option for anyone else to bring her the fruits. If that's the case, the reason he can be made fair is because we don't have a way to circumvent it. We don't have an escape hatch here. We don't have a way for him to supply her fruits without her violating the nether. So therefore, that case allows for hafara. But if that is the nature of the case here at the end of the Mishnah, that has implications for all the cases that we saw before. Ella, midaseifa. Since this case in the seifa, lo domaiti baal, cannot be explained in a case where she only restricted the husband bringing it. Havirisha, the kamaita hi. The other cases must also be a case where she restricted the bringing of the fruits, even if it was her herself that brought them. In that, whatever Rav Yosef said or qualified the Mishnah about, those cannot be the answers. Ron over here actually brings three different girsaot to the Gemara over here. Our girsa that we have in our Gemara is the second one that he brings down. He favors the first girsa, but he says all the girsaot are saying the same thing. He says that the girsa should read, Elohim de Sefer the Kamaitahi. So since that latter case must be a case where she restricted anyone from bringing her fruits, and therefore he cannot use this vendor because she restricted herself getting fruits from this vendor, period. But if she had not done that and she was allowed to get fruits from that vendor herself or through someone else, then there wouldn't have been a problem. The husband should not be mefer. So if the case there is a case where she is completely restricting the fruit, it must be that also in the earlier cases, the cases where she restricted the fruits to herself, even if she brought them, not just if her husband brought them, but if anybody brought them, she restricted herself in them, then that removes the qualification that Rav Yosef made. If that's the case, our Mishnah now, again, becomes a problem for Shmuel. Because our Mishnah is saying that in a case where she takes the netter restricting herself completely from the fruits of a specific location or a specific vendor, that we say that the husband can't be Mayfair. He has to go to another vendor or to another location. Let's say the same thing. When she's Oser herself in Hana from a particular individual, just go get someone else to supply it. Or that shouldn't be a reason for the husband to be Mayfair the netter. And again, the Ran says, the Girsa that we have as well, he says, "Ika tu naschei achrino." There are plenty of nuschahot over here. "V'chol nuschahot olot l'tam echad." All nuschahot come to tell you the same reason, all one reason. "El denaschah kamaitam yichav ritvei." The first nusach, the one that we just read now, makes the most sense. But they're all trying to say the same thing, which is once you've set up that latter case as a case clearly where she's oser herself behana completely, because otherwise, why can he be made for the nether? So it must be that all the other cases in the Mishnah are similarly in cases where she's osir herself v'ana completely. So now what are we going to do? Ella, reisha ein yachol hafer. In the reisha, you can't do hafara. V'kata maitihi. And it's definitely a case where she's osir v'ana, taking from this medina whatsoever. And yet we say no hafara. So why should the Mishnah be saying that? And Shmuel saying that if she's osir herself v'ana from a particular individual, that we allow the husband to be made for there. Just let her go get that or whatever services or needs she has from this individual. Let her go get it or him get it from another person. The Gemara answers, Umatznitan Rabbi Yosihi. That's not a problem. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi. Dam Rav Huna Kule Pirkin Rabbi Yosihi. Because Rav Huna says that the entire Perek is Rabbi Yosihi. Now, the truth is that that statement is unnecessary over here. Because the Mishnah that we just quoted is part of the first Mishnah. And since it's part of the first Mishnah, that part of the Mishnah starts with Rabbi Yossi Omer and ends with Dibri Rabbi Yossi. We don't need Rabbi Huna to tell us that that part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yossi. We only need him to tell us the subsequent Mishnayot according to Rabbi Yossi. So this mention of Rabbi Huna seems completely extraneous or unnecessary because we know that that's the Shita Rabbi Meir and that the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So what the Ran says over here is that there were other questions that could have been brought from subsequent Mishnayot, similar to the question that we asked from this Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara is preemptively shutting down that line of questioning by saying that all the Mishnayot in the Perek are Rabbi Yossi. So the subsequent Mishnah, which says Konam Ani Ne the Briot, then over there in Yechol Afer, you could have asked from that Mishnah on Shmuel as well, that there where she restricts herself in getting Hana from everyone, he can't be Mayfair. Then when she restricts herself from getting hanah from a particular individual, then why should she be able to be Mayfair? So the next Mishnah is a very strong question against Shmuel. So how come you don't ask from that Mishnah? Because the same answer you're giving for the first Mishnah is applicable to all the Mishnayot in this Perek, which is they're all authored by Rabbi Yossi. So now that the Mishnayot are authored by Rabbi Yossi, Dam Rav Huna Kuli Pirkin Rabbi Yossi, Umay Ein Yochola Afer, and what does it mean that you cannot be Mayfair? Mishum Inui Nefesh. You can't be made for Mishnah, Aval Mefer Nidarim Shebeno Lebeina. But you can't be made for the Nidarim Shebeno Lebeina. Now this latter part, or this latter part of the answer, seems, again, completely unnecessary. Because the answer is given already in the first part, which is, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, and Shmuel holds like the Chachamim, like the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah says, those aren't Nidarim that are subject to Hafarav the Baal. On the other hand, Shmuel holds like the Chachamim, who say that those are issues that are subject to the Hafara of the Baal. So then when the Gemara now adds on this extra line that says, oh, you know when Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says, Enu Yochol Afer, you know what that means? Enu Yochol Afer Mishum Inui Nefesh. You can't do Hafara because of Inui Nefesh, but you could still do Hafara because of Beino the Beina. What did that add to the answer? It's not even relevant to the answer. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, Shmuel is Rabbanan. Why does it matter what Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Mishnah? So the Ran says that it actually helps us here, because the Ran says that otherwise you would end up in a circumstance or a situation where the position of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim were so far apart, which is that Rabbi Yossi would believe that these items in the Mishnah are not dinui nefesh and not beino lebeina. And the Chachamim, according to what Shmuel is saying, are claiming that it's inui nefesh. That means the Chachamim think it's inui nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi, all the way on the other side, thinks it's nothing. He says that's too an extreme opinion. So once we established in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi believes it's not inui nefesh, but it is beino lebeina, then it's acceptable that the Chachamim would be one step away from that and say that it's inui nefesh. Because then their machloket is not so far apart, it's not so extreme. So that's why the Ran says that the Gemara brought this in order to support Shmuel's understanding of the Chachamim, that it's inui nefesh. We need Rabbi Yossi at least to believe that it's beino lebeina. And that's what the Gemara does here in the end. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot and the Rosh say something similar. There's a nuance between them. But the Tosafot says, Nir lefereish, dahino shinuya achrina. This is an alternate answer to the question. V'havi kamo inami. This is actually not a continuation of the first answer, rather a completely new answer. And the Rosh says something similar. Shinuya achrinahu. It's a different answer. The difference between them is that the way that the Balei HaTosafot suggests is, Vachi Perusho, Inami Kirabonon. Even if you want to set up the Mishnah like the Rabbonon, you could set up our Mishnah like the Rabbonon. This goes back to what I said earlier, that the reason that Divrei Rabbi Yossi might be extraneous is because who says the Chachamim disagree? And so what the Balei HaTosafot are saying over here is that the Mishnah is actually authored by the Rabbonon. How do we reconcile that with the Shmuel? Because in the Mishnah, when it says Einu Mefer, that means Einu Mefer Mishum Inu Nefesh. But you're still allowed to be Mefer Mishum Beino Lebeina. And that doesn't necessarily have to disagree with what Shmuel says. Shmuel says Mefer. Maybe he's saying Mefer because of Beino Lebeina. So that's the way that the Balei HaTosafot explain it, that even the Rabbanan might agree with that position in the Mishnah. Then the Rosh says that the Inami is, you can even set up like Rabbi Yossi. That Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi over here, because our Mishnah, when Rabbi Yossi says that this isn't Dinui Nefesh, he does still thinks it is Beino Lebeina. And Shmuel is saying that it's Beino Lebeina, and therefore Shmuel could be holding like Rabbi Yossi. So that's both the Rosh and the Balei HaTosafot bring down, that this is a second answer to the question. How do we reconcile between our Mishnah and Shmuel? Answer is that our Mishnah is not saying that you can't be made for the Gamri. Just as you can't be made for Mishumuni Nefesh, but you can't be made for Mishum Beino Lebeina. And Shmuel was also saying that. You can be made for Mishum Beino Lebeina. The difference between Tosafot and the Rosh is whose opinion is it then in the Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Yossi? According to the Balei HaTosafot, it's even the Chachamim's position. Now, both Tosafot and the Rosh then quote the Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that this is not a great solution. And that is because when it comes to the Mishnah, you could argue that it's not a problem of Inui Nefesh, but it is a problem of Beino Lebeina. On the other hand, when it comes to Shmuel's statement, when you're talking about a particular individual, then it's definitely not Dinui Nefesh, but it probably shouldn't even be Beino Lebeina. Yeah, because in the case of Medina Zu, where she restricts herself getting payroll from a specific location, then if it's not Dinui Nefesh, it's Beino Lebeina, because the husband still can't get her fruits from that location. On the other hand, if she restricts herself in Hana from a particular individual, then she may not get Hana from that individual, but her husband could go and buy the fruits directly from that individual, because the restriction is on her, not on him. And therefore, he could buy the fruits from that individual and then give them to his wife, because he's not restricted in buying from her. So even though, in the case of the Mishnah, you could argue if it's not Inu Nefesh, it is Beino Lebeina, because even if it doesn't cause her Inu Nefesh, it causes him problems that he can't supply from that specific location. On the other hand, if she restricts this one individual on herself, then that's all she did. She restricted that one individual on herself. So Inui Nefesh, if you say it's not Inui Nefesh, fine. But then to claim it's Beino Lebeina, why is it Beino Lebeina? The husband can go and buy things from that individual without causing any problems in the nether. And since he can circumvent the nether, it shouldn't be an issue at all. So Rabbeinu Yonah argues against that explanation. That's an explanation in the Balei HaTosafot and the Rosh, suggesting that Shmuel could hold that it is Beino Lebeina, because he says, I don't see the Beino Lebeina over here. And therefore, he favors the first answer, which is that this is a continuation of the answer. And you'd have to say something along the lines of what the Ran said, which is that it's come to show you that the Chachamim's position is Inui Nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi's position is Beino Lebeina, but they're not so far apart. And that's all that added line is teaching you in the Mishnah. Now, as regards to the Halacha, Who is the halacha like over here? So the Ran says, he said it at the end of Pe'alef Amud Bet, and he reiterates it over here, which is, Kevin da Sikna de Shmuel da Amar ki Rabbanan, based on that answer that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, and Shmuel is talking like the Rabbanan, Naktinun Kavatayu, we paskin like the Rabbanan. V'af agav du kula pirkin Rabbi Yossi, even though the whole perek is authored by Rabbi Yossi, lav stame ninhu. They are not considered to be Stam Mishnayot, because they were Stam Mishnayot, halacha k'stam Mishnah. Why not? Kevin diktane Tana, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Since the Tana at the beginning of the parak said Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Yetera, that extra piece, Havalekilu Tznan Behedje, Bekulu Matnitan Amar Rabbi Yossi. It's as if there's clear attribution in all these Mishnayot, that Rabbi Yossi is the author of these Mishnayot, and therefore they're not considered to be Stam Mishnayot. Chenadat Ramban Zal. And that is the way that the Ramban paskins over here, which is the halacha is like the Chachamim, because Shmuel supports the Chachamim, and the fact that Rabbi Yossi is the author of all the Mishnayot in our Perek is not halachically important, because they're not considered to be Stam Mishnayot, and it's Rabbi Yossi versus the Chachamim. And so, if it's the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim are going to trump, because it's Rabbim neged the Yachid. On the other hand, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi over here, and says that, because Rav Huna says that the Kol Perek is Rabbi Yossi, and we could have even explained Shmuel in the Pshita of Rabbi Yossi. And that is based on the other answers that the Tosfot and the Rosh gave over here, that even Shmuel might be able to hold like Rabbi Yossi and say that it's the Rim Shebeno Lebeina, and not Inui Nefesh. So now, with regards to different items, we're going to have different answers. For instance, with regards to Perot Olam Alai, there, it's clear that the Chachamim believe that that's Inui Nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi believes that that's Beino LeBeina. So in that instance, the Ramban and those that follow his Shita will say that the Loch is that that's a din of Inui Nefesh, like the Chachamim. Then, like the Rambam, who says, in that case, it'll be an issue of Beino LeBeina, because he paskins like Rabbi Yossi. But when it comes to Tashmish HaMitah, we know for Rabbi Yossi, it's certainly not Dinu Nefesh. It's only an issue of Beino LeBeina. But for the Chachamim, Rava asked Rav Nachman, what's the din? Is it Inu Nefesh or is it Beino LeBeina? The Gemara there was inconclusive. But when you're inconclusive in Nidarim, Nidarim are a din d'oraita. Therefore, we go to Chumrah. So going to Chumrah over there by Tashmish HaMitah will be to say that it's Beino LeBeina and not Inu Nefesh. Because then you limit the hafara that he can exercise over it. So based on that, it'll turn out that both the Ramban and the Rambam paskin legabei Tashmish HaMitah that it's Beino LeBeina, but for different reasons. The Rambam paskins that way because it's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi and he paskins like Rabbi Yossi. The Ramban paskins that way because we don't know what the sheet of the Chachamim is. It could be, you know, Nefesh, could be Beino LeBeina. Since we don't know, we go with Beino LeBeina because that is the Chumrah, that is the lesser of the Chidushim. So everybody will agree by Tashmish HaMitah it's Beino LeBeina, but with regards to Perot Olam Alai, there you have a machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam as to whether it is Inui Nefesh, that's the sheet of the Ramban, because we paskin like the Rabbanan, or is it Beino LeBeina, that's the Rambam, who paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, now we move on to another statement, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Nadra Mishtei Kikarot. She took a neder to restrict herself in getting benefit or eating two loaves of bread. According to the majority of the Rishonim over here, she took one neder with regards to both of these kikarot. It wasn't two separate nedarim. There is one shita that says that it was two separate nedarim, but we'll follow the majority of the Rishonim here, that it was one neder, and she took a neder to restrict herself in those two kikarot. Bachat mitaneh, or bachat ein mitaneh. One of them causes her inui nefesh, and one of them, ein mitaneh, does not cause her inui nefesh. Mitoch, shu mefer the mitaneh, made for the Shenu Mitaneh. Rehuda says in the name of Shmuel, since the husband has a right to be made for the neder that is associated with the kikar, where she's Mitaneh, where she has Inui Nefes, he also can then, through Gilgul in a sense, take out the other half of the neder that is not Inui Nefesh for her. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan says, made for the Mitaneh, Veinu made for the Shenu Mitaneh. Can only be made for the part that is Inui Nefesh, cannot be made for the part that is not Inui Nefesh. Now, what is the case? Why is she only have Inui Nefesh from one of the two Chalot, and not from both of them? So Rashi actually here brings two interpretations. The Rosh brings both of those interpretations as well. the Mefaresh, Rashi over here says, one possibility is she's starving. She's super hungry. So she needs to eat something. So once she has devoured the first loaf of bread, then with regards to the second loaf of bread, she doesn't have inui nefesh. She just needs to eat something and she'll be okay. So only one of the two chalot causes her inui nefesh, but the second one doesn't cause her inui nefesh just because she's hungry now. Once she's eaten the first loaf of bread, there's no inui nefesh with regards to the second. The other explanation is that the types of bread are different. One loaf of bread is patnaki, white bread. The other loaf of bread is patkibar, is whole wheat. And she loves eating white bread. So there, when she took the nether to restrict herself in the white bread, that's inui nefesh. Whole wheat bread, patkibar, she's not interested in. And therefore, it's not inui nefesh. So that's the other possibility of explaining why that is over here. You have one of the loaves be inui nefesh and one of them not be inui nefesh. Either because the two loaves are different, or it's because she can satisfy herself with one of the loaves and therefore she doesn't need the second loaf. So the question that has to be addressed over here is why, according to, let's start with Rabbi Yochanan, can you be mefer the mitaneh to the part that is inui and not be mefer to the part that is not inui? Now, as far as that halacha, that makes a lot of sense. The husband's empowered to be mefer nidarim that are inui nefesh. He's not empowered to be mefer nidarim that are not inui nefesh. So as far as that is concerned, it's very straightforward why he can be made for the piece that is inui and he cannot be made for the piece that's not inui. What's not easy to understand is we have a principle that we saw earlier in the Masechta, that neder shehutar miksato hutar kulo. Once you have taken out a piece of a neder, removed a piece of a neder, the neder then collapses completely. It is as if it's null and void. So even if you just remove or excise a piece of the neder, that's sufficient grounds for the whole nether to fall apart. So why don't you say the same thing over here? If you're made fair the part that is inui nefesh, why doesn't the other half of the nether automatically fall away? So you look at the last two lines in the Mifaresh. He asks the question. He says, "Bikasha kaimelan neder shutar miksato utar kulo." Hainimile bafarat chacham dadifa. That's true when you're talking about hatarat nederim of the chacham. Aval bafarat baal lo amrin en hachi. But with the Hafarav the Baal, we don't say this. And the Rosh here is even more explicit. But it says, at towards the end of the Rosh, five lines from the bottom, the Rosh says, Aval below Hafara, Enu Mufar, Mishum de Hutar Miksato. We don't invoke this principle of Hutar Miksato. The Davka Gabi Hatarat Chacham Hu de Amrin Anochi. Only by Hatarav the Chacham do we say this. Mishum de Nasa Nether Ta'ut Mi'ikaro. Because when you eliminate part of the Nether by the Chacham, you are actually going back to the origins of the nether. You're going back to the Maseh HaNeder and saying there was a problem in the Maseh HaNeder. Hilkach, came into Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo. Therefore, if you eliminate a portion of it, you eliminate the whole thing. Shalo Ayadato, Shel Kol HaNeder Kayam. When he took the nether, he intended for the whole nether to go into effect at the point of the Maseh HaNeder. If you attack, or if you remove a portion of that Maseh HaNeder, or that original action, then the whole nether falls apart because then he no longer has the piv libo shavim. That wasn't the intent of his nether, and the whole thing falls to pieces. Aval, farat habal, shimikano da ba. Remember that farat habal is prospective nullification of the nether. It's not retroactive. Mashutar hutar. Whatever is excised off, whatever is now removed, then it's okay. Vasharu made bisuro, and the remainder stays in place. In other words, you probably would say it in this manner, which is that Hatarat Nidarim goes after the Maseh Neder, goes after the actual taking of the Neder. And therefore, if you remove a piece of it, the whole thing collapses. On the other hand, Hafarat Neder is simply a way to neutralize the Isurim. The Maseh Neder is still in place. Just the Baal has a right to neutralize the Isurim, Gabe his wife. So whatever he neutralizes is neutralized. Whatever is not neutralized is still in effect because the whole Maseh Neder is still there. It's just that he's able to neutralize those Isurim. And therefore, he doesn't have this din of hutar miksato, hutar kulo. So that's according to the Shita Rabbi Yochanan, how we can understand that even though he's made for a portion of it, the remainder stays in place. But then, the question really comes upon Shmuel's position, which is why would you say that just because you can be made for the portion of the nether that is mitaneh, therefore you're allowed to also be made for the portion that is not mitaneh? Why? What is the process by which this works? Or why should it work over here? So here, the Rishonim take different approaches as to why it works according to Shmuel. The Ran explains over here that the reason that it works is because we have a Gzerat HaKetuv, which is Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu. And Isha Yiferenu means that Hafara has to do the Hafara of the entirety of whatever he is being made fair. So the Machloket, according to the Ran, between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan is, what is the totality of what he's addressing over here? According to Shmuel, it's the nether. He's focused on the nether itself. The nether incorporates both kikarot, and therefore it can be made for both of them because that's Gzerat HaKatuv. The Gzerat HaKatuv is that you're allowed to be made fair, anything that involves inui nefesh. But once you're made fair, you have to be made fair the entirety of that issue, and that is the nether itself. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what he means by Isha Yiferenu means that you have to be made for everything that is inu nefesh. Doesn't mean you have to be made for the whole nether. It just means you have to made for everything that includes inu nefesh in it. And therefore, even if you were made for the whole nether, it wouldn't work. It only works to address those things that are inu nefesh. So that's how the Ran explains how this works for Shmuel, which is that Isha Yiferenu is a gzeret hakatuv, that you have to be made for the entire nether, or the entire object of what you're trying to nullify. And therefore, Shmuel says, that's the nether. So therefore, you wipe out the nether entirely. So that includes both that which mitaneh and davar shu eno mitaneh. The Rosh, on the other hand, has an interesting approach over here. The Rosh says that the first pot, she has major inui from. The second pot, ve'it be ketzat inui apisheni. Since she has a small amount of inui from the second pot, that allows him to extend the hafara over to the second pot. So what the Rosh says is that the threshold for hafara of inui nefesh is a higher bar. It has to be really inui nefesh. But once you've crossed over that threshold and subsumed under that neder or other items that are inui nefesh, but they're not so big of an inui nefesh, they're small inui nefesh, you can, in that one hafara, eliminate all of them. Because once you cross the threshold of inui nefesh for one part of the nether, then for the remaining parts of the nether, any amount of inui nefesh will suffice to allow you to do hafara on the entirety of the nether. So that's how the Rosh explains how it works over here. The Ritva over here has an interesting explanation, which actually leads us into a major machloka between the Ritva and the Nemuke Yosef, which is that the Ritva says, even though by the first loaf of bread, it's inui nefesh for her, and the second loaf of bread, it's not inui nefesh for her, nevertheless, the second loaf of bread includes inui nefesh, because it would be an inui nefesh for someone else. And when we look at inui nefesh, we don't necessarily look at her particular perspective. We look at if it would be inui nefesh for anyone, that's enough. That objective standard of inui nefesh suffices for him to be made for the nether. And that's what Shmuel is saying over here. He can be made for the nether because there's inui nefesh for her in the first loaf. But the second loaf, even though she might not like it, or maybe she doesn't need to eat it, nevertheless, for someone else, it would be inui nefesh. And it's something that could be easily understood as inui nefesh for other people. And based on that, the Ritva says that the whole thing is inui nefesh. On the other hand, the Nemuke Yosef over here says that that's not the case. That when we look at inui nefesh, we look at it from her perspective. And that's based on the fact that the Tosefta is brought by the Rishonim over here that says that if a woman takes a nether to restrict herself from something either she's never tasted in her life, or something that is not tasty, or something that people would have no desire for it, nevertheless, the Baal is allowed to be made for such a thing because the woman has a desire for it, and it's causing her inu nefesh that she can't get to it. So even though other people are not affected by it, or it would not be inu nefesh for others, nevertheless, for her, it is inu nefesh, and that's sufficient. So even though the pasuk doesn't say lanot nofsha, that's what it means. Lanot nofsh means that's her. Her subjective inu nefesh is what governs over here. And therefore the Nemuke Yosef says that it's her inu nefesh. And if she feels it's inu nefesh, that's what governs over here. So he disagrees with the Ritva's explanation. But here you have a machloket about the way to determine inu nefesh, whether the inu nefesh is determined by an objective standard, or is it determined by the subjective standard of the woman? The Nemuke Yosef says it's determined by the woman, whereas the Ritva seems to indicate that it's determined by the objective standard of inui nefesh. Now, for all of these explanations, you are faced with a challenge from some of the upcoming Mishnayot, which is that the Mishnah that we quoted before of Netula Animina Yudim, over there it's a case where Netula Animina Yudim and the Baal is Mayfair, that part of the Neder, and yet the remainder of the Neder stays in place. So if you're arguing when you're Mayfair a portion of the Neder, you have to take out the remainder of the Neder, why is that not the case over here? In addition, the upcoming Mishnayot talk about a case where she takes a Neder from Teinim and Anavim, from figs and grapes, and the Baal is only Mayfair one of those two fruits. The Gemara says, Ma hafara meshehefer hefer, that whatever you've done hafara for is sufficient, and whatever you didn't do hafara for remains in place. So you could do a hafara but mix up here, despite what it seems over here, that you need to do a complete hafara in order for it to be effective. So how do we reconcile with that position? So why are those cases different than what we have over here? So with regards to Netula Min HaYehudim, the Ran explains that the difference is that when you're talking about our case over here, this is a case of Inui Nefesh. The Gzeira Takatuv of Isha Yikimeno, Isha Yiferenu, that he has to be made for the whole thing, is only with regards to Anot Nefesh. On the other hand, when it comes to Ben Ish Lishto, which is a different puzzle, but Beno to Beina, over there is no requirement of a complete Hafara. And therefore, Netula Animin Yehudim, which is an issue of Beino to Beina, because there he only eliminates the Neder for himself, but it remains in place for everyone else, then there is no requirement of a complete Hafara. That's the way that the Ran explains it. According to the Ritva, obviously we just explained that that is not an issue of Inui Nefesh, not for her and not objectively. And therefore, you can't be made for the other aspects of it. You can only be made for the aspects of Beino to Beina. And for the Rosh's explanation, where there's Inui Nefesh involved in the core item, and there's smaller Inui Nefesh involved in the other items, he also quotes the same understanding as the Ran, which is the Gzerat HaKetuvu Dafko Beino to Beina Hu Mayfair, Velo Beina the Beina Cherim. So that's Gzerat HaKetuv, that the right of the husband in those situations is only to be Mayfair, the issues that are between him and her, and not with regards to other people. This extension by Inui Nefesh is something unique to Inui Nefesh, and that's why that case is different. Now, with regards to the Teinim and Anavim, over there, the Rosh explains that with regards to the case of Anavim and Teinim, it's a case where the husband does the hafara for a particular item. She took a nether from Teinim and Anavim, and then the husband comes along and says, Mayfair the Anavim, or Mayfair the Teinim. If he's Mayfair the Anavim, then the Teinim stay in place. If he's Mayfair the Teinim, the Anavim stay in place. Over there, we see that it can be Mayfair a nether, but Miktzat. How come it works over there and doesn't work over here? So the answer to that is because over there, the Rosh says he specified the hafara, that the hafara only has application to that specific item. And therefore, it works only to take out that item, but not take out the other item. Over here, where he's Mayfair Stam, he says a Stam hafara, then the Stam hafara applies, like the Katuv says, Isha Yeferenu, to the entirety of the item. And had over there, he had just said, Hafara Stam, it would have taken out the Anavim and Teinim as well. And over here, if he specified one Kikar, then it will only take out that Kikar and not both of the Kikarot, according to Shmuel. So now the Gemara has this Machloket, and then we have a slightly different version of Ravasi and Rabbi Yochanan. Kadami by Mine Ravasi and Rabbi Yochanan. Rather than Ravasi quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Ravasi queried Rabbi Yochanan, Nadra Bishte Kikarot, Bachat Mitaneh, Bachat En Mitaneh, Mahu. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan respond to him, Mefer le-mitaneh, v'inu mefer le-shein mitaneh. The same sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, which is in one case it's quoted by Ravasi, in the other case is Ravasi asking Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan answering. Eitavei, let us ask a question on this position of Rabbi Yochanan. Haisha, shenadra b'nazir. A woman took a neder nizirut, vaitash shuta yayin, umitama le-meitim. And after taking this neder nizirut, she was defying the neder, drinking wine, becoming tamei mate, harizo sofegedet arba'im. She's going to get malkot for that. She took a neder nizirut, and she is wantonly violating the neder. She's going to get malkot for that. Hafer la bala, if her husband nullified the neder, there, v'hilo yadasha ifrla, and she doesn't know that he nullified the neder for her, v'itashul tayayin umitama lemeitim, eina sofegedet arba'im. In that case, she won't get malkot, because the neder has already been eliminated, or the isurim have already been eliminated by the husband. We'll say that there is a drasha over there, Rabbi Akiva, that the woman in that case still needs to do tshuva, because she, at the time, thought it was isur, and was violating it, as an Isur. Nevertheless, the truth is that she didn't violate an Isur, and that's why she's not subject to Malkot, even though she might be required to do tshuva for the fact that she was abrogating the neder, even though the husband had already been mefer, but she didn't know about that. V'amart, if you say mefer lemitaneh, ve'ena mefer l'she'en mitaneh, if you say like Rabbi Yochanan, that one is allowed to be mefer for things that are inu nefesh, but not for things that are not inu nefesh, dilma minayayin de'it latzaro, hefer la. Maybe from wine, abstaining from wine is what's causing her inu nefesh, and therefore the husband is mefer that aspect of the nether. Minachartzan u'minazag, from the pieces of the grape, the skins and the pits of the grapes, lo hefer la, because that's not causing her inu nefesh. So why do we say over here that she doesn't get malkot, and the whole nether nizirut falls apart? Maybe the husband over here only eliminated the parts of the neder nizirut that are inu nefesh, like Rabbi Yochanan suggests, that you are meifer only the parts that are inu nefesh. Da lo itla tzaro. So there, she doesn't have any pain from it. There's no inu nefesh. He shouldn't be meifer it. But tispoget arbeim, and she should get makot for eating the grapes or the pieces of the grapes, because the husband was never meifer that part of the neder. It wasn't inu nefesh. So, very simple answer that Rabbi Yosef says over here. I'm Rabbi Yosef, ain't nizirut a chatzayin. There's no such thing as half a nizirut. What the woman took here was a nether nizirut. She did not take a nether to restrict herself in wine, grapes, bimetame the meitim. She didn't specify all these individual items. She took a nether nizirut. If any part of that nether nizirut is somehow eliminated, then there's no longer a nizirut. Because you can't have a nizirut without zag v'chatzan. Since you can't have without zag v'chatzan, then once you've eliminated it because of the wine, then you've also eliminated it because it's eliminated for the Zag and the Chartzan. It's a singular neder in a sense of Nizirut. It's not multiple nedarim about different items. It's a single neder Nizirut that manifests itself on wine and on the grapes and on the Tamei Meitim. And so once you have Inui Nefesh in any aspect of it, you're no longer a Nazir. If you're no longer a Nazir, then there's nothing to talk about in terms of the Chartzan and the Zag. Amar le Abayi, so Abayi's Talmud says to Rav Yosef, ha korban lechatzim nizirut ika? The way that you expressed it by saying ein nizirut lechatzim makes it sound like that there is no nizirut. I mean that the nizirut is stopped at whatever point the bal is made for it. The nizirut is terminated, but nevertheless you still bring korbanot. Whatever part of nizirut she kept, she brings the korbanot for that nizirut, even though she didn't complete the minimum 30 days of nizirut. Elamar Abayi says you have to phrase it this way. Ein nizirut lechatzayin, vein korban lechatzayin. Not only is there no nizirut lechatzayim, either it's all or nothing with regards to the neder nizirut, but even after the Baal is mefer the neder nizirut for her, and it stops her in the middle of her nizirut, she does not bring korbanot because she never reached the completion or the fulfilling of her neder. And so therefore she will not bring the korbanot of the nizira, even though she kept there are neder nizirut for a portion of time. Okay, we're going to stop over here. 10 lines down on the top of Pe Gimel Amud Aleph.